Well, hey there, welcome back. By now, I'm sure you've all heard of the Doomsday Clock in Washington, D.C. You know, the one that has a countdown to the end of our world. What, 20, 30 seconds left until, wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. Come on, you'll see. In our dangerous nuclear world, something as simple as pushing a button can destroy the Earth. Well, might it be that something even simpler could save it? This week's episode, The Calendar. It was December 31st. Halfway around the world, Chinese missiles chased the rising sun. Deep in a White House bunker, President Anderson entered the launch codes that would ensure the annihilation of the planet. 57% of the world's population died instantly, vaporized. Over the next 10 days, 22% more would die, screaming. Survivors of the Holocaust clustered together in clans, living in primitive shelters. Daily excursions, searching for food, occupied every waking moment. Rusted cans oozing with God knows what, half-rotted vegetables, barely recognizable animal carcasses. Nothing was rejected. "Well, wait, where'd you find this?" the president asked one of his staffers, who survived with him and his family in a White House bunker. She had just returned after scavenging through the Washington, D.C. ruins and was holding the relics of an ancient calendar. In a rubble of an antiquities bookstore, the pages were scattered all over the floor, she said. "Oh, thank you, Charlotte." The president held the worn leather cover and loose pages that somehow survived. My pleasure, sir. I knew you wanted some writing paper for your journal, so when I saw the blank pages on the back side of the calendars, I stuffed them into my bag." The next morning, Bobby, the president's 8-year-old son, was sitting on the floor. He had the calendar pages scattered all around him and was randomly taping them back into the leather binder. "Look, Grandpa," Bobby beamed as the president walked out, "I'm fixing your old calendar. I just stuck in June 23rd. That evening, the sun was setting behind the rubble of what used to be the Washington Monument. "My tooth! Martha, come look at this, my tooth!" "George, what is it now? We're trying to cook some supper. Your shouting scared me." It's back, Martha, my molar. I remember the day it fell out. It was... Suddenly, the president fell silent. "Martha, wait. It was June 23rd. The same day as what, dear?" "Bobby, he was fixing this for me." He handed the calendar to his wife. "Taping pages back in this book. Look, March 3rd, February 17th, and then he stopped. It was June 23rd. "George, that's impossible. Yeah, open your mouth. Let me see."
"Oh, it's right there. See that?"
Martha couldn't believe her eyes. "George, this is a miracle." She fell to her knees and frantically started searching through the pages, still scattered on the floor. "Martha, what the heck you doing? July 4th, it's got to be here somewhere." Then she found it. She picked it up and put it back in the book. "Okay, honey, let's see if this really works. That's the day the last few strands of my hair fell out. July 24th. All that radiation." The next morning, Martha jumped out of bed and ran to the mirror. George, wake up, George. My beautiful hair. Look." She couldn't take her eyes off her shoulder-length, radiant, silver hair. The president rolled over. Then he stared in amazement. He couldn't explain it. And neither could Martha. All they did understand was somehow it worked. Time had reversed. Martha, look hard. It has to be here somewhere. December 31st. The president and first lady crawled on the floor, frantically searching through the scattered pages. I can make that call again, Martha. But this time, damn it, I'll stay on that damn hotline until somebody answers. None of this will happen. Oh, the president was obsessed. Pages were flying everywhere when Martha looked up, just in time to see Bobby outside, lighting a bonfire. Thank you.